With Tech News Briefing, I'm Tanya Bustos at The Wall Street Journal in New York. The latest tech company to seek a U.S. listing specializes in selling expensive watches and handbags online, opening the rest of our eyes up to the crowded market of luxury tech. Is this e-commerce group, Farfetch, a viable competitor in a unique tech market growing before our very eyes? The details, but first, these tech headlines. The Journal says some Tesla suppliers are currently fretting. The issue? Not getting paid. After production of the Model 3 car drained some of its cash, Tesla's tumultuous year has suppliers concerned about the electric car maker's financial strength. A private survey reviewed by the Wall Street Journal that was sent to several top executives found that 18 of 22 respondents think Tesla is now a financial risk to their companies, and in some cases have claimed they failed to get paid for services supplied to Tesla. According to CEO Elon Musk, quote, "It is just because we're arguing whether the parts are right," end quote. Delays this year in the production of the Model 3 car fell by $1.3 billion in the first 6 months of the year to $2.24 billion. Tesla's current cash picture looks similar, according to internal company records reviewed by the Journal. Russian hackers are widening their cyber attacks, and they have their eyes on conservatives this time. According to new research from Microsoft, hackers linked to the 2016 election cyber attacks on the Democratic Party are ready for the coming midterms, targeting the U.S. Senate and well-connected conservative groups. Microsoft took down six internet domains registered by a Russian hacking group last week that tried to mimic legitimate websites. Microsoft also said it had no evidence that any of the spoofed internet domains were used in any successful cyber attacks before the company seized control of them. And several cryptocurrency exchanges have signed on to what appears to be the industry's first self-regulatory organization, a step toward transparency in the notorious opaque market. Cue the Winklevoss brothers. Their group, called the Virtual Commodity Association, is making moves to self-regulate cryptocurrency, and it's also getting members. The Journal says reps will meet in September to make rules for the marketplaces and guidelines for members. Bitcoin's viral growth has fueled a $200 billion industry, which is why the new infrastructure is emerging for trading those assets. Coming up, what a new tech IPO from a company called Farfetch says about the growing multi-billion dollar luxury tech market. Farfetch is the latest tech company to seek a U.S. listing. This online marketplace that specializes in selling expensive items isn't unique, but it's still gaining attention as one of the year's most notable tech offerings. Let's find out why. Joining us now from our London bureau is The Wall Street Journal's Stephen Wilmot. Welcome.
Hi.
So this company, Farfetch, it's about a decade old, founded in London. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, it was founded by a Portuguese businessman, but it's based in London, but it's seeking a listing in the US. So,
it's big in China,
so very much a global operation. But it's actually not the largest of the places where you can buy luxury goods online. An older website is Yuke's Net-a-Porter, or an older set of websites, I should say. And the interesting thing is it's gone in the opposite direction to Farfetch, so it's been taken private this year. Rather than thinking of going public, it's gone private. And so that, which is an interesting counterpoint to the story at Farfetch. No doubt they have their reasons, presumably around giving liquidity to the initial shareholders. One of the major shareholders, JD.com, the Chinese e-commerce company, is not selling out. It's undertaken to maintain its stake, according to the prospectus that was filed. But it's the second largest Farfetch. So last year, its gross merchandise value, so the amount that consumers bought on its websites, is about $900 million. It was growing at 60% very fast. So luxury is going online. It held back for a long time, but it's going online now.
It's interesting. It's an interesting retail market. So when it comes to the valuation of a company like this at this stage, what is the sentiment like? How attractive is a luxury tech company in this climate?
So it's a nice niche in a way, because it's not, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's Amazon proof. It's not obviously an Amazon sites. You have to basically, luxury companies have always been a bit wary about being on e-commerce platforms. They're very protective of their brands. It's their most important thing. So they're not an obvious fit for Amazon's kind of universal encyclopedic platform model. And so Yeah, and it takes negotiating individual relationships. And so I think it's fair to say that they are somewhat protected from the Amazon threat, which is obviously a key one for any e-commerce company. However, there's no shortage of competition within, you know, the niche itself, mm-hmm. from, you know, between these companies. So Yoox, Net-a-Porter, Farfetch, there's another one called MatchesFashion.com, which is a bit smaller again. The prospectus file didn't have any valuation numbers, which is normal for this stage in the process. There are various trade press reports citing numbers around $5 billion, even up to $6 billion I've seen. Whether that's, I mean, I don't think that's hugely realistic based on the multiple that Yoox Net-a-Porter traded at on the stock market. I mean, one of the interesting things about this is that it's IPOing against the background of Yoox Net-a-Porter having been listed, although it's going private. It was listed, and so we have a take private value. We know that it was worth about 2.5 times sales this year. Farfetch's different model because it's a marketplace, not a retailer. So Yoox Net-a-Porter is a retailer. It buys stock and sells it on to customers, whereas Farfetch is a marketplace. It sort of operates a platform where it matches buyers and sellers without actually buying the stock. So its sales are a slightly different thing. Yeah, interestingly, in this market, because there are comparables, which you don't actually get with tech all that much. Often with a tech company, it's unique and investors get incredibly excited because it's unique, because it dominates some particular space, and it's really hard to get any handle on valuation. And in this case, although they have a disruptive story, there are actually comparable companies which have just sold in the past year. So actually we have a much stronger handle on valuation for Farfetch than we do for a lot of tech names that have floated. I mean, notably Spotify this year, where, you know, mm-hmm. there's no company like Spotify. But with Farfetch, I think it's going to be a bit easier for investors to work out what this company might be worth.
You mentioned the marketplace business model, and, you know, one that matches shoppers with, say, Etsy or eBay instead of your standard retailer. That seems to have led to part of its success. Key question then becomes, why is Farfetch still losing money? Can you speak a little bit about that and how that will all play into things down the road in this pursuit of an IPO?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I'm a bit mystified about why it's not making money, because marketplaces are often sensationally profitable. I mean, in the UK, there are two great examples, Just Eat and Rightmove. Just Eat is sort of a restaurant takeaway meals, basically, and Rightmove is property, and they're both very high margin businesses. And there are a number of examples in the US too. If you can dominate your space as a marketplace and be the go-to place, it's very hard for you to be dislodged by competitors. So you can take a healthy cut of the sales, and typically your very fragmented field of sellers just has to put up with it. But then that brings us to Farfetch, which makes losses. And actually, Yoox Net-a-Porter and Matches Fashion, so these retailers, they don't make losses. They were both profitable. So I think the conclusion I would draw is that Farfetch isn't as dominant as it wants to be, or would like you to believe it is, based on its prospectus. You know, it talked about being the only marketplace in the luxury market, luxury business at scale. While that's true, it actually does compete fairly directly with these retailers, which means that it's not a kind of slam dunk kind of tech marketplace model that investors might pay a very, very high premium for. You know, I think obviously we've been investing heavily behind their growth, so that's one thing. But I think also the losses show that after 10 years, this is not as dominant a marketplace as the eBays, the Etsys, in the UK, the Just Eats, the Rightmoves.
The Wall Street Journal's Stephen Wilmot, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And that is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Thanks for listening.